Mirror, Mirror, written by Christina Curtin, August 23rd, 2021. Over the years, I've written about a slew of personal topics where I overanalyzed why I am who I am. My aversion to having too much crap in the house, the obsession with making birthday books for my daughters, my why behind my eating disorder, or the fact that I feel like a mediocre female based on society's expectations, or the deeply spiritual post on why farting is embarrassing. Seriously, my mind has a lot of weirdness up in it. Aside from all those riveting topics, I've been wanting to write about my tendency to act like the people I am around. How, if I hang out with you too long, I start to repeat back your mannerisms, say things in a way you would say them, and behave somewhat like you would. It's like I'm a sponge. An annoying sponge. Like that stupid-ass yellow one that wears pants. It's not something overtly obvious. I don't become the other person. It's more subtle. The inflection in the way someone says a word or the mindset they have. Are you a negative person? I will be too. I think I've always been this way, but I was never aware I was doing it until Vince pointed it out to me a few years back. He made a comment that I always tended to talk or act like whatever person I was around. Thank God I've never had a friend with an accent, or that would have been comical. Of course, I took this comment from him and I let it fester around in my mind for a good decade. That's what I do. For a long time, I was offended by this because I thought that meant I was weak. Like my personality wasn't strong enough to hold its own. I thought it meant I was just being fake instead of being the real me, whoever that was. Because of this blog, I dug a bit deeper. I needed to stop letting this thought pop up in my head and allowing it to make me feel shitty. One way to gain power over something is to gain knowledge. So off to the internet I went. Online searches uncovered that this isn't a sign of weakness after all. What I have the habit of doing is called mirroring. Mirroring can be manipulative if done intentionally. But often people mirror others to encourage agreement and harmony and to avoid the possibility of negative feelings. Ding, ding, ding. I am a sucker for avoiding negativity, and I love it when people get along. Maybe that's why I absorb somebody's personality and mannerisms through osmosis. Maybe my childhood caused me to be a sponge to the other people's personalities to avoid arguments. Arguments in my house often led to abuse. Arguments were scary and to be avoided. Partially, that's probably why I do have this behavior, and I'm not 100% sure it's something I want to keep doing. Growing up, and even now, I cycled through so many different friends because I didn't like the me I became after being around them too long. The me I was wasn't who I wanted to be necessarily. When I was younger, I wanted more out of my life than what I was surrounded by. I had bigger plans. If I wanted to achieve my bigger plans, I had to surround myself with people I wanted to be like. My habit of mirroring people, coupled with my desire to be more and do more with my life, caused me to abandon friends often. I realized, even though I didn't realize it consciously, that I needed to surround myself with people I wanted to be like because I literally started to become like them. Looking back, I feel a teensy bit sad about my behavior. Only because I let go of some pretty kind, caring, and funny people. They were wonderful people, just not the person I necessarily wanted to be. I don't think they are sitting in a corner crying about losing me as a friend, though. I am a horrible friend. I suck with calling, and making plans with me is like counting on the weather to be sunny every weekend. I care deeply about the people I've met in my life and will absolutely be there if I am ever needed. But I'm not a girl tribe, need to see you constantly, check in mimosas, let's hang out kind of friend. So I've been keeping to myself for the most part. I've been listening to inspiring people who hustle and achieve while I take my daily walk with Evie, surrounding myself virtually with the people who I want to emulate. People like Glennon Doyle, Ed Milette, Tony Robbins, and Rachel Hollis, to name a few. These people hustle and are so inspiring. They have a vision. Who they are is close to who I want to be. These are the people I need surrounding me. And since I don't think Tony is waiting to chill with a 39-year-old mom of three, I need to rely on podcasts and YouTube videos for now. Ultimately, I don't think I can get away from mirroring people entirely. After all, it's not a complete bad thing. Now that I know why I do it, I don't mind it so much. It's not that I don't have my own personality or that I am weak. This is the way I have adapted to life. I can either view it as a weakness or a strength. I can either use it to my personal advantage or let it lead me down a road I really don't want to travel. This is the wonderful side effects of this blog. It prompts me to think deeper about myself, something I might not have done if I didn't create this life chronicle. Raising the curtains has been a blessing because it turned into my own personal form of therapy. I've come to understand pieces of myself so much more than I ever expected. I hope, in turn, it might do the same for some of you, help you at least question who you are, why you are who you are, and maybe help you grow into a better version of yourself. And then you can hang out with me. We got COVID, written by Christina Curtin, August 30th, 2021. I debated on whether to write about this because COVID is a heavily political topic. I seriously despise talking politics and starting arguments that will never end. But through this blog, I agreed to share an unfiltered look at our lives. Not sharing something because I am unsure of the response wouldn't be in line with my goal. So this post is about how COVID-19, the virus that has upended the world, finally made its way into my house. It comes as no surprise that Vince was the one that brought it home. Since he's the only penis in this house, he gets sick weekly. Okay, that's a blatant exaggeration, but you have all likely heard of the man flu. Vince is a prime candidate for that debilitating virus. He gets it at least 4 times a year. His immune system is about as strong as a starving mouse. A couple weeks ago, he came home from a business trip he made to North Carolina. Upon returning home, Vince basically curled up in bed for a solid 3 days. Fevered, chills, and a sore throat. That's 3 days in bed. I honestly can't even imagine if I had to lay in bed that long. Not that I'd ever want to. I'd lose my mind and this house might crumble and burn. In his defense, he did seem sick. This was a solid case of the man flu for sure. Despite being unable to leave our king mattress, neither of us thought it was COVID. We chopped it up to allergies. We weren't being naive. Vince seriously gets bedridden from allergies sometimes. He's a dainty little flower, isn't he? Given that he traveled north, we thought it was the change in locations. It's not uncommon for him to sweat out the sickness. Allergies, it was. Since we are all doctors in my house, Vince never got tested. A joke, but neither of us saw the need to drag his ass out of the house to swab his brain. He probably would have died from that test anyways. Seriously, have you seen the video of him recording me self-administering the COVID brain swab prior to our trip to Hawaii? He gagged at least 4 times. He's such a puss bag. No, Vince stayed home, recuperated, and tried to avoid contact with the rest of the people in the house. Flash forward a few days. Vince was better by this point. He gets tired easily, but that's not uncommon for him. Scarlett complained of a headache over the weekend, and I decided to keep her home Monday morning just to let her relax and work it off. She stayed home and seemed fine, but then mentioned that her throat was sore. Still, I'm thinking it's nothing serious, there's no fever, but I kept her home the next day as well. On Wednesday, she seemed to feel somewhat better. Her nose is a bit stuffy, and headache was still around, but improving. I found out from the school that in order for her to return, you needed to have a negative COVID test or an alternate diagnosis from a doctor. Shit nuggets. It's like Black Friday in Florida when it comes to rapid COVID tests and doctor's appointments. There are so many people needing to get tested ever since school went back. Pharmacies have zero availability for rapid tests, and doctor's appointments are scarce. Thursday comes, I can't find a place to get her tested, and the doctor still doesn't have availability. At this point, Scar said she couldn't taste as good as she used to. I didn't know if she was being dramatic, which is common for her, if it was from her nose being stuffy, or if it was COVID. But I did make her eat vegetables for dinner because I'll be damned if we aren't taking advantage of the no taste thing. Because she said she couldn't taste well, I knew she would need a negative test in order to return to school. No doctor was going to diagnose her with anything different. I finally gave up on getting a doc appointment and mail ordered a test to our house. It was a spit test one so Scarlett wouldn't have to swab her brain. She is super terrified of the swab. I don't blame her. It's no picnic. During this time, I also started to get a mild headache and felt a bit tired. I ignored it, took some Motrin, and kept plugging along. I did find myself struggling to keep my eyes open during the day, though. I had started to get up at 5 a.m. again since Evie was now sleeping through the night. I just assumed my tiredness was a product of that. In pure beast mode, I went about my days and did not lounge in bed. I might have fallen asleep sitting up watching Evie play, but that's it. Normal mom stuff. Of course, I did not get anywhere near as sick as Vince. This is why women should rule the world. Joking, but not joking. Scarlett's test came in the mail finally. It was Saturday, 6 days since her symptoms started. She spit in the tube, sealed it up, and Vince ran it to UPS. 3 days later, her results came back. She was positive, which meant we were all likely positive as well. We didn't go and get tested. Didn't see the point. It had already been 10 days since the symptoms presented themselves anyways. Plus, Gianna never got sick. Her school only requires quarantine if symptoms are present, so she kept going to school. Evie literally has not been sick at all since she's been born. That's great on one hand, but also slightly disturbing on the other. Kids are supposed to get sick to help build up their immune systems. I'm grateful she didn't seem affected at all by COVID being in the house, but now I wonder if she has ever been exposed to other germs yet. What kind of immune system is she developing if the world outside is trying to do its best to prevent all germ exposure? In this world where people mask up to walk outside, where hand sanitizer is raining down from the sky? She does lick tables when we go out and eat. I have large doubts about the cleaning abilities of the staff at Texas Roadhouse, so maybe I am worrying for nothing. That was it. That was how COVID ran through my household. Vince was sick for 3 days and is tired here and there. I had a headache and was tired. Scarlett had a headache and a sore throat. While Gianna and Evie went about their days like this virus was make-believe. I look at our experience and I can't help but see two things. One, we are definitely fortunate. I know people that have gotten way sicker. I don't know personally of anyone that has died, but I know people that know people. I sympathize with them. Death is not easy, no matter how it comes. And number two, this entire planet has been turned upside down for a virus that gave me a headache. I don't know how to reconcile that. I fully understand my experience isn't everyone's. I'm not that narrow-minded and selfish, but my experience is my experience. And as humans, that's the biggest source of truth in any decision or opinion we make. My personal experience doesn't justify the larger impacts our efforts to contain this virus have had on our society, our economy, mental health, our children. I know there are millions of others out there like me, where COVID has had little effect on their health, but a gigantic effect on life otherwise. It just makes me question it all and wonder why and what if. Wonder if we will look back at this time in the future and wish we would have dealt with COVID differently. Seeing how our fear led us to take actions that caused more harm than had we left it alone. Is that the story that will play out? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. All I have is my experience, tons of conflicting and changing advice from experts, and my inner self that guides me towards what is right and true. When it comes down to it, that's all any of us really have. I am thankful that I still live where I am given the freedom to make choices and opinions based on that knowledge and inner truth. Right now, we are choosing not to get the vaccine. Based on my experience, what I have read, what the vaccine truly does, I don't see the need to expose my family to it. My choice might not be yours. Your choice might not be mine. You might believe that my choice is harmful or wrong. You might think I am being selfish or foolish. You could be right. That ability to choose, though, is always right. In almost every scenario in life, the right to choose. I think a lot of us have forgotten that.